I think we got through one two verses last time. Both of them on? Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving. Lord God, we bless you. We open our mouths to sing praise and shout unto your name and declare your glory. That's why we're gathering together. We come together in this place as brothers to worship you. If we had sisters today, we'd come with brothers and sisters. But we're just brothers tonight. So we honor you, Lord God. We declare your glory in the midst of the congregation, between, among the brethren. We just say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I will praise you in the presence of your people, in the midst of the congregation. I will sing. And we just declare these things, that, Father, we have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, and through faith, by grace through faith, we receive the promise. And Father, as we're studying your word, we're studying what you've already done. And even though our bodies and our minds seem to wander and go into, just fall into sin easily and daily, Lord God, that you are causing us to rise above those things by faith and say, no, in Jesus' name, I'll not follow after the flesh, I'll follow after the Spirit. And it's not a work of us, it's not a work of our strength, but it's a work of your strength. So Father, we just declare these things as truth. And we will not hear the voice of a stranger. We hear the voice of our Master, Jesus. And we just study your word, and believing it is the truth, given and inspired of God. In the early days, he spoke to us by the prophets. In the last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. And so we just receive this right now out of the book of Hebrews as word from God, not the word of man, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 All right. Well, we've been by faithing it. These are the triumphs of faith. Now, you know, we can say the triumphs of faith looking like, boy, these guys were big shots and they had triumphs of faith, and we can only hope to kind of maybe, you know, eke out a living up here. No, it's not true. See, we in fact are in better shape. We have a better covenant based on better promises. Amen? We got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. But we've also got a world that's raised us up. But they did too. They had the same world. Well, they don't have the world we had. Well, they had a world that was bad enough. I mean, if you remember studying about Noah, he said, you know, Jesus said it's going to be in the end as it was in the days of Noah. That was pretty sorry. That's pretty bad days. As it was in the days of Lot. You know, all the homosexuals running around trying to have sex with angels and they have sex with anything. I mean, it's crazy. It wasn't just homosexuals. It's absolute perversion. Amen? And that's what we have today. It's absolute perversion. And you are no saint yourself. Amen? Except for the Holy Spirit. Except for the glory of God. You have no ground to stand on as far as goodness, as far as righteousness. You have nothing. You're lousy. I used to make fun of Pastor Jim. We talked about this down in San Antonio. He remembers this. We had some New Year's Eve thing. We used to have them, like a New Year's Eve chili supper or something or other. And we'd get up and we'd do all kinds of skits and stuff and things like that. You know, I guess that was back in the day when before television or something. We don't seem to have the same takers we used to have on those. They got kind of thin, so we quit having them. But I'd got up there one year they got me going on, we had a couple of people who knew how to get these things rolling. But I got up there 1 year, and I don't know if any of you, there was some evangelist down in Houston, Texas, named, well, whatever his name was. And no, he's all right. He'd come out in a white tux and a cape, drive up in a white limo. The evangelist, and it looked like a nightclub. It looked like a nightclub guy pulling up in a white tux and cape and in the thing. You know, so I did a little number on that. You know, 1 year. Well, the next year they liked it so much. The next year I did a spoof on Pastor Jim, and he was embarrassed. Yeah, I mean, you don't think you could do that, but well, I just did him. Got up to the board, Started drawing on the board. Yeah, a little hand behind the ear. Hello, hello, you know. And then up on the board, you know, you start writing something you can read. And then by the end of the message, you go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. By the time he's finished with the message on the board, well, nobody can read that. He's scribbled all over it, you know.
So he hadn't changed it.
He used to wear his tie. Well, no, he has actually. Because he used to put on a tie, and the tie was as wide. He wore the same ties in the 80s that were the popular ties in the 70s. You know, the ones that were about 6 inches wide, except he'd tie them, and the back would be lower than the front. The small part would be longer than the front part. You know, he'd come in to a meeting, and that's his tie. And then, because he didn't care about looking like anything. He just came in, you know. And, I mean, you got to put a tie on. You know, put a tie on. He did tie, not even tied. Right. And he'd come in. He'd sat on his glasses a number of times, and just, you know, instead of going to get them fixed or straightened out, he'd put a paper clip in them. And so I kind of, it just put a little paper clip in it, you know, but I exaggerated it. You know, I got the big paper clip and I put it in there, you know, or I got some big, I think I put a hanger in it or something in a pair of glasses. But anyway, I was just going on and on and on, and everybody was just rolling. Everybody was, because it was all right. It was all true. And he couldn't help. He was just tears, because he was just, but he didn't know what to think about whether or not, you know. But he had to know that I loved him. He did know I loved him, and it was all in fun. And anyway, oh gosh, that was back in the early 90s, I guess, 92 or something. Anyway, why was I telling that story? What was I saying? Back in the old days, anyway, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. I mean, those are the days that were wicked and wholly evil. Well, guess what? We're in those days again. I'm sure if you go back and listen to the tape, there's a reason I got into that story. But the fact is that, yeah, these are the good old days. That's right. These are the good old days, or the bad old days. These days are the days, the same days that Noah was in. He was the only guy who even would trust God. He was wandering around, you know, for 100 years building this ark. And nobody heard. Nobody listened. I had a guy today. He was coming out. He fixed a plug. Huh? Yeah, 100 years from the time that Noah started building another ark till the flood came. It was 100 years. It was a big project. It was 100 years. I had a guy today, you know, talking about witnessing to people. I had a guy today, you know, and I was asking him if he's a Christian. You know, kind of working up to it, you know. And you know how people, you know, salespeople and people who work in people's homes, if they don't want to talk to you, they got a stock answer for things. You know, I said, "Oh, y'all go to church? Where y'all go to church at?" At Big One, up on 121 and 114. And before I caught myself, I said the name of it. I said, "Oh, Fellowship Church." Yeah, Fellowship Church. And then I was all of a sudden backed up in my mind and thought, that guy didn't even know the name of that church. He just said that's where he goes to church. That Big One. You know what I'm saying? He just knew of a church somewhere, so he claimed that one. And I didn't follow him up on that one, but I knew. It's just like he didn't want to go there. He just didn't want to go there. So I just went a different route and just ministered and blessed him, you know. So it was fun. I didn't want to catch him, you know. Didn't want to catch him lying. But it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny how he did
that. That's the fellowshipchurch.com.
That's the one, buddy. But I just thought it was interesting that he just picked that one out of the blue and said, the big one. You know? So it's fun. But anyway, he says here in verse 7 of chapter 11, Hebrews, by faith Noah, being warned of God, things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Not like, but the fear of God. He heard God. When you hear God, you move on it. That's the fear of God. You hear God and you move on it. And it doesn't mean you don't fear man. Don't get it wrong. It's not that you don't fear man too, but you fear God more. Amen? It's not that you don't fear man, you fear God more. Everybody's got fear of man. It's not like some big guy gets up there, you're just super spiritual, and you have no fear of man. But your fear of God is greater than your fear of man. You know? That's the thing. Is your fear of God is going to be greater than your fear of man. And how does that happen? Is by meditating on His Word, by spending time in worship of God, because you will hear His voice. You will hear Him speak. You will hear Him loving you. You will hear Him forgiving you. You will hear Him in your time in prayer that God is speaking to you. We had a meeting the other night, and we're talking about Jim came back up to his to what he had taught for a number of years, is 8 parts to daily prayer, and this is a good primer. It's a good primer on prayer.
Is he still going with that?
Well, it's the fact that it's a good, like I said, it's a good kindergarten lesson on prayer. Well, sure. Well, when you say going with it, obviously you move.
He still agrees with it.
Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. He still agrees with all of it, But it's like a baby steps. And then once you begin praying, you find that these elements are all in the prayer. And it begins with thanksgiving. Thanking God for what He's done. Praise. Thanking God for who He is. And just continuing in that. And just to the getting rid of everything else. Until you just spend the time in the presence of God and come into adoration. It's going to take days or weeks to you to get to this place. Pardon? That's what we're doing. I'm telling you, write these down. Thanksgiving. Thanking God for what He's done. Praise. Thanking God for who He is. Adoration doesn't come so quickly. Adoration is something that comes where your heart meets your soul. Where your heart meets your soul. Adoration, that's what we call, say, worship. That is intimacy. That's like coming into that intimate relationship, the same personal relationship akin to sexual intercourse in human beings with bodies. That's this intimacy that comes in with God, is this worship and His adoration. And it doesn't come along. It doesn't come along the first time you're thanking God and praising God. You're going to work into this. You're going to begin to, but you need to give yourself to this. You need to give yourself to thanksgiving. Give yourself to praise. Give up the time. Either make it early in the morning. Do something. Give up the time somewhere and say, I'm going to enter into His presence. Now, you're in His presence every time. I'll declare this to you. Every time you're in the presence of God, you're not out looking for it and trying to dig it up and find it. You're in the presence of God when you declare it. But you just don't experience it unless you spend time. You will not experience the presence of God unless you take time with it. You will not experience the presence of God unless you take time with it. Now, we're not going to teach on worship, but I'm just sharing these things. Now, these 8 parts to daily prayer. Here, the reason I'm saying this is I believe Noah had this relationship with the Lord. He didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of him, but he had this relationship with God. He had faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, what that means is not only things that haven't happened yet, but things that had never happened. I'm going to send a great flood. It's going to rain. It's going to what? He had to show it, tell him what rain was. Water's going to come out of the sky. He had to even tell it had never rained on the earth because the earth was watered by a mist that came up. This was going to change the entire geographic and thermographic, I don't know, weather pattern of the entire planet. And so here he has this relationship with God. He feared God. He's being warned of things not as yet seen. He moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So he had this relationship with the Lord. So certainly those of you who are filled with the Holy Ghost are going to have a closer, more intimate relationship with the Lord than even Noah, than even Abraham, any of these guys, because you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Just to finish that little issue there on the prayer, I'll just help you with it. is that, so thanksgiving, praise, adoration, then moving in, once you're in the presence of God, you're going to begin to see your sins. You're not holy before you get in there. You can begin to see your sins. You're entering in before you clean up. Hallelujah. You're not confessing your sins before you start praying. You're confessing your sins as you enter into His presence. You begin to confess your sins and thank Him for His mercy. And then you begin to confess your righteousness. That is that which He's bought for you. Then once you're clean and you're righteous, you're free to make petition. So, confession of sin, confession of righteousness, petition, intercession, and finally, consecration. As you're leaving that prayer closet, you're consecrating yourself, dedicating yourself. Lord, only Your will be done, not mine.
Would you go through them again?
Praise. No, excuse me. Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Praise. Adoration. Confession of sin. Confession of righteousness. Just write R. Write a big capital R. That's what I do. Confession of righteousness. Petition. That's asking. You have not because you ask not. Intercession. Praying for others. Praying for your family. Praying for the church. Praying for the world. Intercession. And consecration. As you prepare to raise your body up out of that prayer time to not my will, but thine be done. As I walk out of here, body, soul, and spirit, not my will, but yours be done. All right? That's eight parts.
Okay, that's good.
Eight parts to daily prayer. And what will happen is, you know, you start out like that, you know, it's like a little kid or anything you do. You know, when somebody gives you the list of things you're going to do at your job, you know, eventually you're not looking at the list anymore. Eventually you just do them, you know, just start out. A lot of time they may blend. The lines may blur. You may go petition, intercession, back to petition. You may confession of sin, confession of righteousness, back to another sin, back into worship, come back into confession of sin again. So in other words, they may flow. It may ebb and flow in the process, but these are the elements. Adoration is worship. That is intimate time. Intimacy with God. You are experiencing actually the actual presence of God, the Shekinah glory. The presence of God, you and the Lord together. Most people never get past praise. Maybe quiet praise, you know, like worshipful praise. But most people never get past. Certainly in our worship services. Because adoration is not conducive. A crowd is not conducive to personal worship with God. All right? A crowd is not conducive to personal worship of God. You don't have personal worship of God typically. You may in a measure. The Holy Spirit may come into the congregation. But individually, your time with the Lord is going to be private. All right? And I'm not saying that He doesn't minister in and through the crowd, but by and large, the time of intimacy is going to be with the Lord, you personally, and then you bring that into the worship service. You'll bring that into the worship service. Obviously, that's not happening very often in our worship services because people are just coming in. They're coming in for to hear a teaching. You know, people are not, and people are not worshiping people, but by and large, there are people who are worshiping at home. But by and large, they're not. By and large, they don't know they don't know the difference. Now, all of that to say this is you do always, God says, enter His gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. We know that, right? Enter His courts with?
Praise.
All right? So enter His courts with, you're going to always start with that. That's what God wants to start with. Oh, God, I am a grievous sinner. No, that's not what he won't start there. Because you don't even know what your sins are. Amen? Well, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just keep going.
But I like how you tied that in.
Praise God.
Noah.
But again, that's what Noah is. Noah's got a relationship with God going on. That's how he heard God. That's why he feared God. You have that relationship with the Lord. You're going to fear God. That's what you want. You want the fear of God. I want the fear of God. I want to have more of it. I do too much of my own thing. How about you? I do too much of my own thing. I'm glad I'm getting turned off to some of the things I've been doing. Some of the wastes of time I've been doing. Law and order. That's a horrible waste of time. It's just a horrible waste of time. The Weakest Link. No, I can't stand that show. It just depresses me. You are the Weakest Link. Well, she's probably right. I probably. Yeah, I always watch reruns. I can't watch the new stuff. The new stuff is really sick. Yeah, new stuff is not worth watching. You ever seen a comedy show? What they call a comedy show these days? It's filth. It's filth. I got children in my house. I can't even have anything like that on. I wouldn't want to, but I mean, so much of it's just gays. It's all gay jokes and, you know, sex. Every bit of it. It's just incredible. Comedy is not comedy. I mean, you might as well have it all on the Comedy Channel now because it's just so sick, so horrible. I mean, you know, even mediocre Christians can't even stomach television anymore. All right now, or go to movies for that matter. By faith, verse 8. Okay, finishing that verse in verse 7. By the which he condemned the world because he built that ark and him and his house were in there and the rest of the world was condemned because nobody came. Nobody came. I was telling the story about that guy, you know, because he preached for 100 years, told people what he was doing, why he was doing it. Nobody came. Nobody believed. Nobody came. And he became the heir of righteousness, sole heir, became the sole heir of righteousness, which is by faith.
Is it kind of like people don't come here?
What do you mean?
Like when people don't come here.
Which people? You mean our people? Or any people.
Are they not hungry enough?
Well, they're not hungry. We don't have a sign out front. Maybe because we don't have a sign out front. The only sign we have is you. The only sign we got. I mean, you know, we could put out on the front, True Church. But everybody's got that. You know? So it's just going to come from the hearts of those who have been touched by the Word of God. You know? If this is where the Lord has put you and planted you and growed you up, then you're going to declare it. And somebody's going to see it. Somebody's going to see joy. See, I think that one of the greatest factors that we have in this body is if you're hearing, you're going to have joy in the middle of your horrible circumstance or your lousy circumstance. You got joy. You got thanksgiving. Somebody says to me, man, how come you are never unhappy? I've never, ever seen you unhappy. Well, praise the Lord, you hadn't been at my house, or you hadn't been every place I've been. But if that's a testimony that somebody has, glory to God, it's glory to God. Amen? And that's the truth. That's the truth of you. You're never angry. When things come up, they just roll right over you because you're not angry at people. You're not angry at the things that they do or say. They're just people. You just love them because you're filled with the love of God. Because you have no expectations of anybody. The only expectation you have of anybody is that they're going to be wicked as you. Amen? And so you're just free to love them. You're just free to care for them. Just free to bless them. And you're free to give them. Father, I want to be an out front vessel of your mercy, your grace, and of your testimony. Amen? It's talking in Psalm 119 about the testimonies of the Lord. Amen? Those are the testimonies that come out of your mouth, are the testimonies of the Lord, is that, you know, God is good all the time. All things are working together for my good. Well, people hate that. But the thing is, they see that you're happy, and they're not. All things are working together for my good, and then they look at your sad situation. You just say, hallelujah. I don't believe in defeat. I'm not defeated. I live in heaven. I don't count the things on the earth. I don't need to. The things of the earth are passing away. The things of heaven, that's where I count my existence. I'm not looking for the city here. We're going to look at this here. I'm looking for a city made with foundations, whose builder and maker was. I'm waiting for the best. whose builder and maker is God. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed. That's what that verse is saying. By faith, Abraham obeyed the word of the Lord, the leading of the Lord. He obeyed the leading of the Lord. You can obey the leading of the Lord by faith. You step out by faith. You don't step out because you're good. You step out because of faith. You hear God because of faith. Same thing with Noah here. By faith, Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark. You could say Abraham, moved with fear. He obeyed. He had fear of God rather than fear of man. I want to build up fear of God and not fear of man. So he went out. And he went out. He obeyed. And he went out. Not knowing where he went. How about you? You ever going to go out not knowing where you're going? Awesome. He went out not knowing where he's going. Now you may have your job, you may have your work, you may have the thing, but see, God was going to lead you and you may not know where you're going that day or that hour. You need to have an expectation that you don't know where you're going today. You don't know where you're going to end up, and it doesn't matter. You have a plan. See, God says a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So you can always say, where are you going? I don't know. Jesus said it to Nicodemus. He said, you know, the Spirit blows. You hear the wind, but you don't see it. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. So is everybody that is born of the Spirit. Isn't that you? So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. That's you. You're born of the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. You move by the Spirit. You don't know where you're going. Well, I've got this job to do, this order to fulfill, this job to run. And you'll get that done because He's going to make sure that you get you're provided for. Right? Yes, He will. He'll make sure you get provided for, but you know, God's going to fit a bunch of other things in your day. He's going to fit a lot of ministry in your day. Because you started out by faith, thanking Him, praising Him, adoring Him, petitioning, confessing your sins, confessing your righteousness, interceding for others, and consecrating yourself. Amen?
Hey, David.
This is by faith. Oh, yeah, you should be.
Like
yeah.
You start out in the morning
mm-hmm.
in thanksgiving and praise, and then because it's too hard to do it, like sit down and do it.
Well, what I would do is, though, I would say that it's important to sit down and do it.
In like a few minutes?
Well, give yourself an hour. You may not even use an hour the first week, but an hour may not be enough after 6 months. Yeah, don't worry about trying it. Just don't try it. Don't try it. Just do it. And then when you mess up, and then when you forsake prayer, repent. That's part of your confession of sin. Lord, I forsook prayer. I let my body rule. You know? Go to bed early enough to get up early enough. Don't sin at night so you can pray in the day. You know, a lot of time we sin at night. What is that? Just wasting time staying up too late. Hallelujah. You know, and again, it's not a work of the flesh. It's a work on the flesh. It's not a work of the flesh, but it's a work on the flesh. It's a punishment of the flesh. It's you dying, isn't it? You dying how often? I died, starts with a D, daily. I die daily. I need to die daily. I buffet my body. Just like a guy who wants to win the race, I buffet my body. Amen? I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to me. Amen?
Amen.
I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to me. So he didn't know where he went. He didn't know where he was going. You don't know where you're going from day to day, do you? God may lead you into one place or another place to administer the love of Jesus. He may lead you into a place where somebody has a need. Abraham was to go out to receive an inheritance, and he obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. He took a trip. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. You know what? We're living in the land of promise in our spirit, by our heart. I want to sojourn in the land of promise. Now, as far as as far as your body is concerned, what does the land of promise got in it? Not much in there for the body, is it? I mean, you think of the land of promise where Abraham went to. Remember what it was? It was nothing. It was a desert. It was like nothing there. He sojourned in the land of promise. A bunch of Hittites there, a bunch of Canaanites there. You're in there sojourning in a land that's occupied by wickedness. And God's showing you the land that you're going to, remember the message we talked about possessing your land? See, that's why God took Abraham into that land. He said, here's the land you're going to possess. How many years was it before they possessed that land? Over 400 years before they possessed that land. Here's the land you're going to possess. Here's the land you're going to possess. He had a few skirmishes there. But he was living in a tent. They didn't have a temple. He was living in a tent. He didn't even have a tabernacle. He didn't have any of that. You know, he just had God. He just had faith in God. He just had a relationship with the Father. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Your children are your heirs of the promise. Your children are not only heirs of your money, your children are heirs of the promise of God. For he looked for a city which has foundations. Well, if you're living in tents, you don't have a foundation, do you? It's ground. You're living on the dirt. He looked for a city with foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, Abraham was looking for a city not made with hands. He was looking for a city, the city of God. Ronald Reagan, you remember, somebody sent me something on Ronald Reagan, you know, talking about the shining city, you remember? Talking about the shining city on a hill. He's talking about America. I've got news for you. America's not it. America's not it. America's just turning into what it was. America was just an opportunity for the church to grow without being squished by religion and religious tradition. And what have we done with it? There's a remnant, just like anywhere else. There's a remnant. When you have freedom, you have debauchery. We thought the church was going to have freedom to grow and be the church. Well, the church had freedom to debauch, didn't it? I mean, you didn't. The Congress and the Constitution set it up even not to favor the church nor disfavor the church. They set it up not to be a Christian nation. Listen to me. This is not a Christian nation. The nation was set up to leave the church alone. Let the church do what it wanted to. We had some believers, but we also had some folks who were just nothing. And they were tied into, but what they wanted was freedom. What they were into was liberty and freedom. Let every man do his own thing. They were into liberty. Now, there were many that were Christian. They realized this, that their liberty was going to be tied to the fact that they made no one worship the way that they wanted them to worship. Let every man worship as he pleases. If he wants to non-worship. Now, you can find documents and you can find all kinds of documents and statements in the private writings of people's opinions and people's thoughts as to how these things were going to shake out and work out. That apart from a religious people, this country is never going to make it. But these are all private thoughts. They're not written into the Constitution. The Constitution was absolutely built to keep church and state absolutely separate. We do believe in separation of church and state. Is that the church should not be running the state. Now, do we believe that the church is more beneficial, as the private writings say, is the land is more benefited when true Christians are in authority. The Bible says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. But to try to come in and say that this nation is to be ruled by Christians, I tell you what, it's going to be hell on earth. If Christians are trying to rule this nation, and they're going to make it a Christian nation, it's going to be hell on earth. Because it's going to be religion, it's going to be ruling, because God Himself can be the only ruler of a man's heart. You cannot legislate these things. They must be done from the heart. Amen? The law was to prevent various things, as just to keep you from killing your wife, to keep you from killing your neighbor, to keep you from stealing. Those were the laws that were put in place. You could not rule, as Jesus even did it. He said, the law says this, but I say unto you this. The law was there to keep you from killing and stealing. But Jesus said, for salvation purposes, it has to do with the heart. It's not, for the purposes of being a people of God, it has to do with your heart. Amen? So you and I, we're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation within a nation. We're a holy nation within a secular nation. Secular is not evil. Secular is just neither. It's just neither. It's neither good nor bad. It's non-sectarian. Everybody has freedom. The problem is we live in a free nation of sinners. And unrighteous outwardly, Christians. And very few righteous Christians. We live in a nation of moral atheists. There are moral atheists. Anybody ever seen them? There are plenty of moral atheists. There are moral people. But they have no heart for God. Neither will they have any relationship with God. Neither will you see them in heaven. But they're moral for purposes of keeping peace in the world. They know what works to keep peace. Abraham was looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're looking for that same city. We're expecting. Looking is expecting. Not looking under every rock. He already had a promise. The looking is expecting. Expecting because He's coming. We're looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're looking for the second coming of the Lord. When I say we're looking for it, you understand I'm saying that we're expecting Him. Abraham was looking for for a city. He had full expectation of the city rising. Where's the city coming? Revelation chapter 21. Coming down out of heaven. A new Jerusalem. Coming down out of heaven. That's the city. Now there was a city on earth, the old Jerusalem. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel. That's a type of the kingdom of God. God's presence among His people. But the presence among His people was only brought up, it was brought about by what? A sacrifice. But the true sacrifice had not yet come. Jesus Christ, the true sacrifice, had not yet come. All these things were a type and a shadow of the city that Abraham was looking for. 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Now she received strength. Why? Because her body was what? Dead. Her body was dead. And she was no more having babies. Baby time was over. Through faith, also, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. You know, even though she laughed, she believed. Even though she laughed, she believed. And you know, you'd say, well, you know, the faith folks would say, through faith, well, you know, I shall conceive, I shall conceive, I shall conceive, I shall conceive. No, she just believed the promise of God. She believed, God made a promise and she believed it. She wasn't working up strength to conceive seed through faith. She wasn't working up the strength. God just made a promise and she believed it. That's where faith works. That's what faith is. Yes to the promise of God. Amen? Faith is yes to the promise of God. Faith is not working it up to get it, to make it yours. I believe I'll conceive a seed. 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 Talk about vain repetition. You heard that part about God said the prayers of vain repetitions? No. You're going to hear God. You're going to get a promise from God. When God gives you a promise, you just say, I believe it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And you're just walking around because you believe it. Walking around thanking Him because He believes it. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past the age because she judged Him faithful who promised. She judged Him faithful who promised. See, God made her a promise. God made a promise. He said, in 9 months, in the time of having children, you'll have a child. See, let's look over there to 17, Genesis chapter 17 for a minute. This is such a good book. It's taking us forever to get through it, isn't it? Genesis 17. And here it is that the Lord appeared to him. The Lord appeared to Abraham when he was 90 years old and 99 years old. He said, I'm the Lord. Walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And he came over here. He told him he was going to establish his covenant. He said to get himself circumcised. Every man shall be circumcised. And it'll be a token. He that's 8 days old shall be circumcised. He that's born in your house or is bought with your money needs to be circumcised. Your slaves need to be circumcised. My covenant will be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. The uncircumcised man-child whose flesh is not circumcised, his soul shall be cut off. As God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and I will give you a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old? So God was talking to him, and he was laughing. He heard God, and he laughed. And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Yeah, you just be, he said to God, just let Ishmael be the guy. Just let Ishmael be the kid. Because he had already got Ishmael. Just let Ishmael be it. And God says, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with the seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful. And he left off talking with Abram. And let's see here. So here he is. Okay, that was the first part there. That was the promise. And let's see here. So he came in, and the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre in verse chapter 18. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Here's Abraham sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them and flew to the tent door, and he bowed himself to the ground and said, Lord, if I've found favor in your sight, don't pass away, don't pass by. And he washes their feet, brings a morsel of bread, tells Sarah. Yep, I guess it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three guys. Well, God and two, and God and God and Abram, Michael and Gabriel, or something. So Abram ran to the herd, got a calf and tender, dressed it, and he said, "Where's Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, that is, a pregnancy. And lo, Sarah, your wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent. She shouldn't have been listening, but she was listening. Just listening in on this thing. So it wasn't God talking in his heart, was he? God wasn't talking in his heart. God talking to him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Sarah heard the guy say it. Mm-hmm. He was in the he came in the form of a man. God came in the form of a man. Now, well, there was three angels speaking, and one was the presence of the Lord. I don't know. But he actually had a voice, physical voice, that was heard by Sarah. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And now,
Genesis 17.
This is 18 verse 10. 18 verse 10. The first time was God's promise to Abraham. Second time was when God shows up in the camp. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That is, she went through menopause. That is, she's finished bearing, she can't bear any more children. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself and said, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also, another, am I going to have sex? And my Lord being old also, that is, he's impotent, he doesn't have any juice. And the Lord said to Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child when I am old? See, you know, all those other guys, you know, apparently the time after Noah, the several generations after Noah, everything went downhill. You remember all those guys beforehand? They were having children after age 100. You remember that? Like Enoch had Methuselah after age 100. But after the flood, because of the natural physical conditions, everybody went downhill. Days of man are 120 at best. All right? Now, so it's funny to them now. I mean, even those just few generations, everybody knew that you're done. You're 100 years old, you're through. That water coming up from the ground apparently watered people too, didn't it? Kept them moist, kept them soft and supple, kept them getting wrinkled, kept them having fun a lot longer. Amen. So the Lord said to Abram, hey, Sarah laughed. By the way, your wife just was laughing at me. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child? Remember, she's behind the door, which am old. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I'll return to you according to the middle of the time of life, that is a pregnancy, 9 months, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, and see the Lord talking to her. He said, no, but you did laugh. You did. And the three men rose up from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm about to do? Which, of course, he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But even at that, see that faith that Sarah had, she actually laughed. She was not saying, you know, by faith I'm going to have a baby. 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 She didn't say that, did she? In fact, she went, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. That's a promise of God, though. It's a promise of God. You know what? When the guy left, she said she thanked God for the promise. She believed God, and the promise was fulfilled, wasn't it? Wow. She probably wouldn't have even gone to bed with the old man if she didn't believe the promise. That was an act of faith just to go to bed with the old cat. Amen. All right, now, keep reading. Through faith also Sarah received strength to receive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Who's that?
Abe.
So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is in the seashore innumerable. So there sprang from him even one as good as dead. I mean, he was dead in his body. Had nothing in there. No sperms, no nothing. And God made him alive. How many know he got married after that? After Sarah died, he married Keturah. Remember that? That guy was lively. He was a lively fellow. These all died, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises to themselves personally. They had not received the full promise of the land. These all died now. Now, Abraham obviously received the promise of the child. What are we talking about now? We're talking about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham. What's the promise? The promise of eternal life in Christ Jesus. The promise of the land. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. You see, you receive a promise and it may be far off. Far off, just they saw it. They saw it. They saw it. They're looking for a city. They're expecting. These all died not having received the promises, but having seen them. Because how did they see them? Because they had a relationship with the Lord. They spoke to God. They spoke to God and they had a relationship with Him. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. See, that's how we deal with the promises. Amen? You're persuaded of the promises. You embrace the promises, even though you don't see them. Because these promises are given by God. That is, the fact that you are going to come into the presence of God when you die, you're going to come into the presence of the Holy One. Amen? You believe that when you're dead, you're not just dead. You believe that you will rise again. You receive the promise by faith. And then you expect the promise to come into the natural. Verse 1. Look back at verse 1. Now faith is the substance, the assurance of things hoped for. Right there. They received the promises, seeing them afar off. Faith is the substance, the thing that allows you to grab hold of the promise, even though it's far off. The evidence of things not seen. They embraced them. They were persuaded of them. They embraced the promise as if it were solid, as if it were fulfilled. In the natural, they embraced it. That's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. In the face of bad report, you receive a good report because God promises. Amen? When all things are looking lousy, you receive the good report because God promised. You don't make it happen. God's making it happen. You just receive a promise that says, I'm going to meet all of your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So whatever I tell you I'm going to do, that you be confident that I'm going to do it. Don't make up your own and expect God to fulfill it. Get in with God and just get His promise, and then hear His promise, and then thank Him for it. And know that all your needs are supplied. Amen? It's not about getting a hold of things on this earth. It's about getting hold of what He promised. This is not build your own. It's not bring your own booze. It's not build your own salad. You know. You go to a place. This is not do it yourself. You know, like build your own burger. This isn't build your own burger. This is go according to the promise of God. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. In other words, this didn't mean my home. I don't even live here. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They confess. That's a word out of their mouth. I don't care. I don't need anything here. Here's not where I'm looking for something. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Anybody who talks like this says, I'm seeking a country that this ain't it. I'm looking for something that this ain't it. This is not it. All that's around here, this isn't it. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from where they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. If they'd cared anything about the country they came out of, the place they came out of, they might have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. They'd given up on the old country. They gave up on the old life because faith is the substance of things that you hope for. And what is the substance of what you hope for? What would you hope for other than that God promised it? It's a promise of God. Not the thing you made up in your own head. This is a promise that God made. He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to give you a city. Verse 14, good again. For they that say such things declare plainly. When they say it, the saying of it is a declaration that they seek such a country, not made with hands. And if they had been mindful, or if they had been mindful meaning mournful or misty-eyed about the country you came out of. Remember how the Jews were misty-eyed? Oh, the leeks and the onions. They kind of misty-eyed about the old country. You know, just like, oh, I remember the leeks and the onions, you know. If they had been, verse 15, and truly if they had been mindful, that is, oh, let's go back. We could. I mean, this is a lousy land we're in. This land of the wilderness. The wilderness. How many know the wilderness was not the promised land? But see, they were not walking by faith. They were walking in complaining. They didn't have the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen there in the wilderness, did they? They were not like verse 13. The guys in the wilderness were not like verse 13. These all died in faith. Those guys in the wilderness all died in doubt and unbelief. They never made it to the promised land. These all died in faith. Even though they never received the promises, they still died in faith in expectation. Amen? They died in the promise. Even though they never received the promise, they died in the promise. The guys we're talking about. But having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them, and in fact, they embraced them. And they confessed out of their mouth that they were strangers. They didn't confess anything else, but now this is not my home. It's not. They were pilgrims and strangers in any land. Pilgrims and strangers on the earth. And anybody who's like them that says such things, they're saying this, that they seek that same country. And truly, again, if verse 15, if they'd been mindful of the country they came, if they cared, if they hadn't had that attitude of faith, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They just turned back. But now, verse 16, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For He has prepared for them a city. He has prepared for them a city.
Verse 15.
Then, yes.
And truly, if they had called to mind.
Yeah, called to mind.
Interesting.
Yeah,
You know. They had a choice.
Yeah, they did have a choice. They could have, you know, Noah didn't have to build the ark. He could have just stayed around with them, been like Lot, you know, hung out with his neighbors. Lot was going to stay there. Lot was righteous. God got him out. But he was still going to stay. He was going to stay there.
So it would appear that the principle here is that if you meditate on the things that are seen, you fail.
That's right.
You can only meditate on the things that are not seen.
That's right. That's exactly it. These died in faith, not having received the promises, but they had the expectation of the promise. They were so convinced of the promise, having seen them afar off. There it is right there. There it is. And they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them. That's you. That's Grandpa going to heaven. Hey, he's sure that I'm coming to Jesus.
So meditate on the things afar off?
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't meditate on what's not seen.
Well, you can't see that. When the things that are far off, that is, he's talking about the promises that haven't been fulfilled. They're the promises that are made but are not yet seen. But see, that's better.
Having seen the promises are far off.
By verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Faith is the substance of things that are seen afar off. Things that are hoped for. The evidence. Faith is the evidence. It's the outward evidence. That is, my faith and what I do to fulfill that faith and to walk by faith and to say Jesus is Lord, even though nobody could see a Jesus. Nobody could see a Lord. All they could see is love. The love of God coming out of me and the mercy of God flowing out of me. That's the faith that comes out. And is a demonstration of the manifest presence of God. And it's not because I saw anything on the earth that made me do it. It's because I have hope in that far off. I'm persuaded of it. I'm embraced of it. That there's a city out there and I want to bring you with me. I want to bring everybody with me. Faith is the substance of the things that are hoped for. It's how I grab onto the promise of the city. It's not making it up, making stuff up as I go along. You know, it's not getting stuff in this life. The promise is the thing of the next life. The promise is the thing of the next life. And it's how God reaches to me with His promise and causes me to take hold of His promise and say amen. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. Is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that's us, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed, because our desires have changed. We don't desire an earthly country, do we? Our desire is what? Is a heavenly country. Our desire is a heavenly country. We desire not an earthly country, but a heavenly. They desire a better country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. See, he was not pleased that they were into leeks and onions and wanted to go back. So much of our faith is based on going back to this world. Leeks and onions. Cadillacs and caviar. Cadillacs and caviar. Oh, for the Cadillacs and caviar. I don't think we'll need Cadillacs in heaven. How about you? I don't think we'll need caviar in heaven. Wherefore, God is not ashamed. God is not ashamed. God is not ashamed. How many know God is not ashamed to be called our God? Because we're looking for a city. You got to know what you're looking for. You're looking for a city. You're not looking for stuff. You're not mindful of the country that you came out of. You're not bemoaning the country you came out of, bemoaning the fact that you came out of the country. Even though you're living almost in hell on earth. You know, it could happen. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned to abound and I've learned to be abased. He said in all these things, perils in the land, perils in the sea, perils, everywhere a peril. Perils, wonder-working perils. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. By faith, Abraham, we'll stop here because that gets into the next story. Amen. Well, God's good, isn't He? God is good. Man, it's a good chapter. It's good. It's the third. Man, we're not even halfway through this thing, are we? Hardly. Not even halfway through, and we've been here on this 3 weeks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we bless You, magnify You, worship You, sing to You, declare to You the glory of God, the praise out of our mouth. We thank You that the faith is the substance of the things that we have hoped for, and those hopes is Your promise. The things that we hope for is Your promise. You've made a promise and we hope in it. It's the evidence to somebody else. So it's the substance for us and it's the evidence for somebody else. The evidence that I have believed that in something that's not seen. So Father, this day, thank You that You're just causing us to meditate upon this word, meditate upon these things, to pray daily and gain the fear of God. So that we might walk in joy and walk in Your promise. In the land, in this land, we walk by faith looking for a city. Because we are just strangers and pilgrims here. This is just a temporary dwelling. We're dwelling in tents, just as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we just ask You, Lord God, to minister mightily. Use us to minister mightily this freedom. From the world, that we have no home but heaven. No, we have here no permanent dwelling. And we magnify You, we bless You. Let us be not gripers and complainers, but rejoicers in everything. Let us be a demonstration of the joy of believing. In Jesus' name, let us walk by faith. Amen.